I still believe, I still hold, and I still cling to the old rugged cross.
As a child back in Sunday school, I learned this simple truth. Jesus died to take my sins away. And I can still remember when He changed my life way back then. And the cross is just as real to me today.
I still believe in the power of the blood Jesus shed on Mount Calvary. And I still hold to the hope that He's gone to prepare a dwelling place for me. And I still cling to the promise that there is still forgiveness for the lost. I still believe, I still hold, and I still cling to the old rugged cross.
Some may say I'm old enough to stand without holding His hand. With each passing day I need Him more. For He's become my everything, and that's the reason why I cling to Calvary and all the cross stands for.
I still believe in the power of the blood Jesus shed on Mount Calvary. And I still hold to the hope that He's gone to prepare a dwelling place for me. And I still cling to the promise that there is still forgiveness for the lost. I still believe, I still hold, and I still cling to the old rugged cross. And I still cling to the promise that there is still forgiveness for the lost. I still believe, I still hold, and I still cling to the old rugged cross.
The cross. Yeah, well, that's a great song. Enjoyed it this morning. Thank you, folks. I appreciate it. 2 Timothy chapter 3 this morning. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And if you're getting familiar with your Bible, it's toward the end of what we know as the New Testament in your Bible. It's written by the Apostle Paul. He wrote it to a young man, Timothy, who's pastoring a church in the city of Ephesus in the first century. This is his second letter to Timothy. Timothy was Paul's son in the faith. Not necessarily, we don't know for sure that he got saved under Paul's ministry. Could have been. But he definitely trained under Paul. Paul was his mentor. 2 Timothy 3. Let's stand together, if you're able to, in honor of God's Word. I'm going to read two verses, but we'll talk about several of them in this chapter, in fact, in this book. Verse number 1, this know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. And then it says in verse 2, for men shall be, and it goes into this long list of what men will be like, people, mankind will be like in the last days, in these perilous times. Look at verse 5. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. And Paul told Timothy, from such turn away. But I want to speak this morning on this subject, something real, something solid. something real, something solid. Our Father in heaven, I pray that you'll bless the preaching of your word today. We can't do that effectively without your Spirit. I believe that the message is founded in the truths of your book. But Lord, having the word in and of itself is not enough. We need that blessed touch of the Holy Spirit of God. It needs to be preached in power. And I pray that your power of God will be on the message, that the little still small voice of the Holy Spirit will be heard in our hearts this morning, that you'll help us to see truth. God, I pray that you'll help us to respond if necessary, if need be. Thank you for the opportunity to preach your word. Would you help me this morning? In Jesus' name I ask. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Usually during primary voting, the turnout is very low. At times in primary voting, I have been the only one in the room. This past Tuesday, I don't know what your experience was if you voted. This past Tuesday, the place was full. All the booths were filled, and a couple of people were waiting to get in the booth while I voted and others. And there was a buzz in the room. It kind of surprised me. And I walked out of the room, of that room, with a man I don't know. He lives, must live somewhere out in that area where we live, where we vote. And I commented to him about how many people were voting. I said, man, this is not like youth on primary. And he just blurted out, people are sick of it. Okay. Sir, would you tell me how you really feel? I would appreciate that. So, you know, I mean, he just... So, and you know, I thought to myself, yeah, I agree. I believe people are fed up with our government, but now, wait, our governmental, in some cases, the policies. But I think people are fed up with the people in government. And I'm talking about the lack of character on both sides of the aisle. I'm talking about the both. I'm not going to throw all federal, local, state politicians who hold some office under the bus. There are some good ones. But there are less good ones. Are you with me? There are less good ones. And everything in politics is about image. It matters not if there's any substance to the person. What matters is the optics. So photo ops are set up well in advance, and they often create a picture that isn't reality. Okay? It doesn't matter to the mainstream media that the Secretary of Transportation doesn't know a thing about chemical spills. Now, what matters is that he was walking around with a hard hat and a safety jacket and safety glasses and looking very concerned. But the truth is, folks, he couldn't get out of there fast enough. And those photo ops just go on all the time. It's all about image. It's all about what the optics are. There's no substance to it. Are you understanding what I'm saying this morning? That's not okay. So true as that may be, politics is not my concern today. Image over substance. Image over substance is not new. It's as old as the first century. And unfortunately, it's not isolated to politics, because Paul warned Timothy in verse number 5 about the existence of people who have the image of Christianity, but no substance. No substance. The optics were good, but the substance was not. And Paul warned Timothy that this would become a real problem in the last days. You know, verse number 1, again, it says this, know also, in the last days. Folks, the last days have been occurring since the first century A.D. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. That was written in about 62, 64 A.D. So the last days were already here in the first century. Some people believe that the last days started with the introduction of John the Baptist. Some people believe the last days started with the ascension of Christ. Some people believe that the last days started on the day of Pentecost. I'm not sure I really have a position on that, although I know that Jesus said the law and the prophets were until John the Baptist. So I do know this. The last days, they're here. They're here. And obviously they're in full bloom right now. And all you got to do is just read the list of sins that characterize the last days. Would you look at it beginning in verse number 2? For men shall be lovers of their own selves. Now, let's stop. You know, we don't have an every word Bible. We have an every order of the word Bible. And this is the first one on the list. Men shall be lovers of their own selves. Selfishness is on steroids today. Folks, this does not mean that selfishness just is starting to be a problem now. It means that in the last days, selfishness accelerates, it explodes, it increases to the point where that it's perilous. Selfishness. Look on, here what he says. Covetous. That's wanting things. You know what covetous is the opposite of? Covetousness is the opposite of contentment. You know what contentment is? Contentment is wanting what you have. Amen. Does that mean you can never want something you don't have? No, you can want something you don't have. But if you never get it, it's okay. Amen. Do you know how many people live their life? I can't get this. I could just get this. I could be happy if I could just get this. If I could just have this, I'd be... They're not content. Contentment is wanting what you have. It's okay. If I get that thing I'd like to get, great. But if I don't, I'm fine. Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. We got any of that going on? Unthankful. Isn't that interesting? Unthankful. Unthankful. You know what we got in the mail this week, church? We got a thank you note from Jack and Taylor Barber, because they took an offering for them on a couple of Wednesday nights so they could go to the couples retreat in Wisconsin, and it was enough money came in that we not only paid for the retreat, but gave them some gas money and food money. And you know what we got this week? A thank you. You know what that's called? That's called Christianity. It's vanishing. It's vanishing. People are unthankful. Unholy, without natural affection. Do I have to describe that for you? Men with men working that which is unseemly. Even the women burning in their lust toward what? Huh? Truce breakers. People don't keep their word. False accusers. Incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God. Isn't that interesting that pleasures is plural? See, all of these things are characteristic of the last days. Those days are upon us right now. They have been, and it's just increasing. It's just waxing worse and worse, Jesus said in the book of Matthew. And then you come to verse number 5, where the last days will be marked by image over substance. The image is Christian, but the substance lacks. There's a form of godliness, but the power of salvation is missing. Were you paying attention to the words they just sang? There's still power in the blood of Christ that was shed on that cross. Everybody's a Christian. Everybody's a Christian. Everybody. Unless you're Mormon or JW, that's even considered Christian. Muslim, Jewish, everybody's a Christian. Everybody's a Christian. Everybody's a Christian. You notice how these famous people, they speak about God and Jesus and the Bible, and then two sentences later, they're cussing like a sailor? You ever notice that? They drink like fish? They speak of God and they live together out of wedlock. Someone of the opposite gender, they speak of salvation and they rock out to music that's from the pit of hell. Folks, listen, I'm not mad at anybody. I'm just trying to help people this morning. Listen, salvation has substance. Salvation is not just form. Salvation changes people from the inside out. Salvation changes a person's vocabulary. Salvation changes a person's choice of music. Salvation changes a way of living. It changes our choice of entertainment. What I am saying this morning is that salvation has substance. Salvation, hey, now don't miss this, has a form of godliness that does not contradict the power of God. Salvation has form and substance that affirms the power of God. You understand what I'm saying? Salvation has substance. What a horrible injustice is done to the doctrine of salvation by all these people. I'm Christian. It's all image. It's all how the optics are, but there's no substance to it. There's a profession of salvation, but there is no witness to that salvation's power in the person's life. And I'll tell you, Timothy was no such man. He didn't have an image. He didn't have an image without substance. He had both form and substance. There was proof of the power of salvation in Timothy's life. Now, substance is defined in Webster's 1828 as something real, not imaginary, something solid, not empty. So that's why my title, Something Real, Something Solid. And the last days are going to be marked by people who have image without substance. They have a form of godliness, but the life denies the power of God's salvation. And look, you say, well, I've never heard this before. Well, this is, Bible's full of it. Bible's full of it. Now, Timothy was real. He was real. Timothy had both the form and the godliness. He had the image and the substance, okay? He had the reality and the solidity. He had it all. Now, what do we know about Timothy? Well, let me show you this. I may not even get all this, but let me just talk for a little bit. Look here. I want you to see, first of all, that Timothy had real faith. Look at chapter 1. You're in the book of 2 Timothy there. Chapter 1, verse 5 says this, okay? Paul's writing to Timothy, and he says here, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee. Let's stop right there. Timothy had real faith. You see those two words, unfeigned faith? That's talking about salvation faith. You know what unfeigned means? It means real. Here's the word, unfeigned, unfeigned. Feigned means pretend. Feigned means play the part. Feigned means not real. The prefix un means not. Okay? So the word unfeigned means not. It means the real thing. The real thing. Not fake. Not pretend. Not playing a part. Timothy had real faith, and he had this real faith from a child, which means a child, as Timothy was a child, can trust in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, be born into the family of God, and have real faith. This is a college-age young man. These are junior high-age young men. Behind them is a elementary school young men. Every one of these fellows I'm talking about down here can possess real faith. You don't have to wait till you're 18. You don't have to wait till you're 12. All it takes is coming to the awareness and the confession of the fact before God that you're a guilty sinner. You can't help yourself get to heaven. The Lord Jesus came, died on the cross, was buried, rose again so that you could be saved. And like Timothy, as a child, put his faith in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. Anybody that understands that, comes to that reality, acknowledges it and confesses and accepts Christ can be saved and have the real thing.
Amen.
The real thing. This is exactly what happened to Timothy. Do you know it's possible to have the image and yet not be saved? Now, how do we know that? Well, there was a fellow named Judas Iscariot who walked for 3.5 years with 11 other disciples of Jesus. And as far as we know, they never questioned Judas's salvation. Judas heard Jesus teach and preach. He was one of the group. He went on the trips of teaching and preaching together. He saw miracles. He was there to worship. He was a part of, in fact, they came to the Last Supper there in the upper room. And Jesus, after the supper was ended, he told the 12 disciples that one of them was going to betray them. None of the 11 turned and said, yep, it's Judas. In fact, when Judas skipped out to go betray Christ, you know what they thought he was doing? They thought he was going to pay for the food. No, no, Peter didn't say, well, yeah, I got this pegged, this Judas. James, that's Judas. You know what they started asking? Is it I? Is it me? So here was Judas. You know what Judas had, church? He had the image. But he didn't have any substance. He didn't have any real faith. I'm not trying to talk anybody out of their salvation. If you're saved, I can't talk you out of your salvation. Okay? But this kind of thing has not gone away, folks. It is a characteristic of the last days. And as we go further and further into the last days, it's just going to be more and more and more of this. Well, I'm a Christian, but there's nothing in the life that backs that up. It's a form of godliness. But there's no substance that testifies to the power of salvation. Now, let me tell you something. You may not remember the date or time when you got saved. You know why some of you adults sometimes get nervous? Somebody preaches on, do you have the real thing? Are you saved? You get nervous about it because you got saved, like Timothy, as a child when you were 5 or 6, and now you're 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, 50 years removed from that time, and it's difficult to remember all that was going on. You may not remember the time and the date when you got saved, but I hope you have memory of a place. A place. You say, well, I don't know if there's any Bible for that. Well, Paul never forgot the Damascus Road. Talked about it all the time. I was on the road to Damascus. I'm on the way to Damascus. I was on the road to Damascus. On the way to Damascus. On the road to Damascus. You may not know the date, the time. I was 18. It's easy for me. You know, October 15, 1975, Graysville, Tennessee, Calvary Baptist. But I got ahead of myself. The date and the time may not be that important, but one thing for sure, there was a place where this old boy came under the conviction of the Holy Spirit of God, and I saw myself as a lost sinner, and I came to Christ asking for his free gift of salvation and was born into his family. And I hope that since that moment in time, there's been a little substance. Do you have a place? Do you have a place? Can you go in your mind and talk about a place? Maybe you were a kid. Maybe you were a teenager. Maybe you were a young adult. Or maybe you were up in years and there was a place. Maybe it was the kitchen table with your parents. Maybe it was in the bedroom with your dad or mom. Maybe it was in a Sunday school classroom. Maybe it was at a church altar. Maybe it was standing on the door, on the porch of the doorstep of your house. But there was a place where somebody opened the Word of God or shared Scripture with you, and you bowed your head and you trusted Christ as your Savior. Did you get it? Do you have that place?
Yes, sir.
And if you don't, then you can get one. And you get one today. Now, I know this isn't popular, but let me tell you, this pulpit has not been for 34 years about popularity. And I'm not going to change now. We're not told, but my guess is that Timothy's place was at home. Maybe talking with grandma, maybe talking with mom after supper. Maybe one of them read from the book of Isaiah the prophet, maybe chapter 53, the one we know as 53. Maybe they were talking to young Timothy about Moses, and then they took the Passover lamb and they cut its throat and collected the blood and they put it on the lintel, the doorpost there. And they were spared judgment because the blood of the lamb was on the door of their house. Maybe Timothy is a young boy, and grandma or mom said, Timothy, that's a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ coming to this earth and going to that piece of wood. Isn't it interesting that the choir and the special was all about the cross today? That's not planned. It's planned by the Holy Spirit, not man. Hey, Tim, that's a picture of Jesus Christ who came to this earth and shed his blood so that people could be saved and wouldn't have to face the judgment of going to a lake of fire forever and ever and ever. Maybe Timothy's listening to that. Tell me more about this, Mom. Tell me more about it probably was at home. We know for sure it was when he was a child, he got saved. And I want to say this. Don't forget that place where you got born into God's family. Don't forget. Hey, can I tell you something? God hasn't forgotten you. Parents don't forget the birth of their children. If you're born into God's family, he's not forgotten you, and that's a silly lie of the devil, and we do an injustice to God to even consider that he might have forgotten us. God doesn't forget his own. No. Ever. Never. He had real faith. Real faith. And I'm not accusing anybody here this morning of having fake faith, but you have to ask yourself the question, do I have salvation? Do I just have the form, or do I have the substance? Amen. Are you with me this morning, church? Okay? It's kind of quiet in here. It's a little tight, isn't it? Y'all okay? I don't think I'm preaching anything that's not biblical. Some of y'all need to loosen up. Y'all talk to me sometimes about, boy, everybody out there claims to be a Christian, Pastor. Well, now I'm saying it from the pulpit, and you're... You could use a little help this morning. There are a lot of people out there claiming to be Christian. Everything's Christian. We have Christian rock and Christian dope and Christian bring your own bottle. Don't tell me that didn't happen. I saw it out in Columbus, Ohio. Bring your own bottle. Talking about beer. Wasn't talking about perfume. But boy, bless God, Brother Allen, it's all Christian. I'm sorry, but I got a book, friend. You know what, people, you got people's looks, you got problems. Never come. Right? I got people's looks, but you know what I got? I'm going to take this book over anybody's look. I'm not trying to be sassy, smart aleck. I'm just trying to preach the truth to you. Because I'm going to tell you what, my friend, listen very carefully. You may not like what I'm saying right now, but truth sets a person free. And no sense lying to you. Truth sets people free. And I'm telling you something, friend. You talk about this. I know a Christian man. He shoots up dope. Let me tell you something. There's a Bible Christianity that sets you free from all of that stuff. You don't have to have the dope. In fact, you don't even want the dope. You don't have to have the liquor. You don't even want the liquor. You don't have to have all the things that the devil throws at you to tell you that you'll enjoy this and you'll have fun with this. Oh, yeah, you will for a season. But what are you going to do when you stand before God? We're talking about a form. He said it. He said it. He said, Timothy, in the last days, people are going to have a form of godliness, but it denies the power. What's he saying? He's saying they say they're Christian, but there's no evidence of God's Spirit's power working in their life. Because salvation changes us. Well, I don't have much more time. He had real faith. But let me say this. Look at chapter 3. You're right. We started there, right? Look at verse 15. Not only did he have real faith, he had real knowledge. Real knowledge. Look at verse 15. Now look at this. And that from a child, so this is where we get that that from a child thou hast been familiar with the Holy Scriptures. What's the word there, church? Known. Known. The word known means to have a clear perception of truth. Church, people, to shorten it, you've got to be more than just familiar with your Bible. There are people sitting here this morning. You are familiar with the story of the flood and David and Goliath. And Jesus came and died. But you don't read the Bible enough or even attend church enough to know it. And you know what knowing the Bible is going to do? It's going to grow that real faith. You get saved and you get under the preaching and teaching of God's Word. Probably going to get myself in trouble. Hey, do you read your Bible? Yes, sir, I read the proverb of the day. I'm not against that. But there's more to this book than proverbs. Oh, Pastor, I get a verse a day on my phone. Yes, sir, I'm in my Bible. I got a verse a day right here, right here. A verse a day, every day, every day. Come on, folks. You know that's not going to cut it. A verse a day. Look, if we lived in a communist country where churches meet underground and they have one page of the Bible, one page, and share it from family to family, then maybe, you know, God can use that, right? God's Word's powerful. You got a whole book. If you've been saved for a number of years and you can't tell what the theme of the book of Nehemiah is, you don't have real knowledge. Well, that just ruined everything, I can tell. And is it any wonder that even though you're saved, the power of that salvation is not working in your life? Because this is where it begins. After you get saved, this is where it starts, right here. Okay? This book, oh my goodness, this book, you know what this book will do? This book will build substance in you. You know what this book does? It deals with our core person. The Word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. That means that this book deals with our core person. and we get this out and we get this in and we get something else out and we replace it with something that God gives us and fix this and change this. And what happens is, as we learn to know the Bible builds substance in us. There's weak Christians. You're saved. Now, there's some people who claim to be saved, but there's no substance. There's some people who claim to be saved, and they're saved, but there's no substance. The book builds substance in you. This is something real. This is something solid. Timothy had the real thing. He didn't have optics. Oh, he might have looked the part of a Christian, but you know what was more important? He had the substance. He had real knowledge. He knew. Look at it again. That from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. And by the way, what Holy Scriptures is he talking about? Old Testament. All right. I'll mention this. We'll be done. Look at verse 14. Right above it. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Watch this. He had real faith. He had real knowledge. And he had real examples. His grandma was real. His mom was real. Paul was real. And buddy, they modeled that in front of Timothy. He could see that. You know what Timothy is? He's a young man. Ray. Trevor. He's a young man, Michael. 20s. 25, 30 maybe. He's a young man. Who has real faith and real knowledge. He had real examples to look up to. He's not a walking image with no substance. Something real, something solid. Something real, something solid. Hey. Just answer the question. Do you have real faith? Do you have real faith? Can you go back to a place where you got saved? Let me tell you something. If you don't, you can get it. Did you hear what they sang in that song? I still believe. Paraphrasing, God still loves lost people, unsaved people. Wants them to be saved. And he does, friend. He loves you so much, it's unbelievable. If you're saved, but lacking substance in your life, maybe it's because you don't have real knowledge. You've got your verse of the day. Maybe you should change that. Start developing a plan to get in this book. And then for those of us who have children and grandchildren, young men looking at our lives, young ladies, let's be a real example. A real example. Father in heaven, I pray that you'll bless the message today. Help us, Lord. I know the devil would like to just keep everybody here blinded. But I pray that the blood of Jesus Christ will defeat him. And I pray, oh God, that you speak to hearts in a real way today. Maybe there's an 18-year-old or a 24-year-old or a 10-year-old or a 50-something-year-old sitting here this morning who needs to be saved. Maybe there's a saved person who needs to have substance developed in their life through your word. Or maybe we that are saved, hopefully have a little substance, need to be a better example. God, just speak to our hearts today. And we'll thank you for it. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Let me ask, first of all, this question. If you're saved and you know it for a Bible reason, I mean, you can go to a place where you got saved. If you're saved and you can go to a place where you got saved, would you just, nobody's looking, just raise your hand as a testimony to that. I know I'm saved. Thank you. Is there anybody here who would say, Pastor Angel, I didn't raise my hand because I don't have that. I don't have that. I don't have a place where I know I got born again. Could I see your hand? Just going to pray. I see your hand. God bless you. Appreciate your honesty. Somebody else. I don't have a place. I don't have a... Think about it for a moment. Just be honest. Let the Spirit of God ask you that question. Do you have a place? You have a place where you know you got saved. Okay? Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Nobody's looking. I'd like to have this person that raised your hand just now. Would you just look at me just for a moment? I see the Lord spoke to your heart, didn't he? We can show you how to be saved. You want to get, you come this morning, we'll have a lady show you how to be saved. That's right. God bless you right over here. And Joyce, if you'll slip over there quickly. Thank you, ma'am. God bless you. That's wonderful. What if there's somebody else today? Okay, Pastor, look, maybe I didn't like everything you said, but I don't want to be separated from God forever in hell. I'd kind of like to hear this. Somebody else? Who's here this morning say, Pastor, I'm saved and I know I can go to a place, but honestly, I'm lacking substance in some areas. And you nailed it. The Spirit of God nailed it. I'm just not with my Bible like I should be. And you'll be honest enough to say that this morning by uplifted hand. Pray for me. I need to do better here. See your hands in the air. God bless you. Amen. Thank you for being honest. Okay. And maybe you feel like God's helped you to grow in grace a little bit after you got saved, but you say, boy, oh boy, I want to be that kind of example. And say, Pastor, that spoke to my heart a little bit. Could I see your hand this morning? Yes. Amen. Well, Heavenly Father, I can't do the work that your Spirit can do. Only He can do. I pray that you'd speak to hearts this morning, as you must have already. And Lord, I pray that if there's some resistance, that you'd break it down. I pray that the power of God would overcome the warfare that's in the atmospheric heaven right now over truth. And give victory, God. May you plead the blood of Jesus Christ on this invitation. We'll thank you for it. Let's stand together. Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed. The lady's going to play just a song of invitation. It's time to respond.